And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to Spin Rate, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. That's right, this is Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and I would love to say, like to say, thank you so much for tuning in, for checking out the show as the Blue Jays continue their assault on the American League playoff picture. They're on the outside, but they're not. They're right there in the middle of it all. And it's an exciting time to be a Blue Jays fan, no joke. And it is also, well, it's not an exciting time to be an Angels fan. It's a time, and there are Angels fans, I guess. So I'm really excited about this episode of Spin Rate, as the Blue Jays are out west, staying up late, playing against the Angels early in the week, and then heading out to Seattle for the end of the week. If you are, you know, Caitlin McGrath, the co-host of Spin Rate, she'll be up late covering these games, covering the doubleheader, covering Ohtani versus Jose Barrios later in the week, which is the personal highlight of the season for me, probably, no joke. But if you want to read everything that Caitlin has to say about the Angels, if you want to read about the Blue Jays, if you want to read the Angels, you got to subscribe to The Athletic. That's the bottom line here. Go to theathletic.com/spinrate. You can dial it up. They'll give you a tidy little price for a year subscription. You'll let them know that we sent you. Keeps us in podcasts and keeps us living in the style to which we have grown accustomed. So that's all tidy bits of business. I want you to subscribe to this show, of course. You can subscribe if this is your first time. Again, thanks for checking us out. You can subscribe to Spin Rate on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Dial us up. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Give us a thumbs up. Just do all the things that lets the algorithm know that we are doing something right. Speaking of doing something right, I'm so excited to talk to my friend, Angels fan, drummer for the band Thrice, Riley Breckenridge. They have a new record coming out in September, September 17th. They are going on tour not long after that, if you live in the United States. Riley is also the co-founder of Classic Grit Baseball Club, baseball lifestyle brand, and also you have heard him for many years co-hosting a baseball podcast called Productive Outs. He also plays the drums in a baseball-themed band called Puig Destroyer, which put out three records, that have no business being as good as they are. But Riley loves the Angels. He's grown up an Angels fan. Great to talk to him about the Angels, about Vlad Guerrero Jr., Vlad Guerrero Sr., and the process of recording and a new record and going out on tour in the middle of a pandemic. A bit of a head job going on, bit of a screw job in your old mind piece there. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to waste any more time prattling away. I'm going to go thank you for listening to Spin Rate. And I'm going to go right over here and we're going to talk with Riley Breckenridge of Thrice. He is the co-founder of Classic Grit Baseball Club, baseball lifestyle brand that you should check out if you haven't already. He plays in Thrice, who have a new record coming out in September. It's called Horizons East. They're going on tour. And he is also the kind of person who admits in public that he is an Angels fan and has been for a very long time, which is why I want to talk to him. I'll talk to him anytime. But Riley Breckenridge is a guest on Spin Rate this week. Riley, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's good to, it's been a while since I've talked baseball, so I'm eager to do so. It's been a lot of music talk lately.
Understandable. You've been in the studio, which like all everything is weird now, I can imagine. Like going in the studio, even with these guys that you've recorded, 11 records? And it's like, you're in the studio and it's weird. And then it's like, well, now what are we going to do? Are we going to play shows? Well, we can't quite do that because it's weird. But and even baseball games. Have you been to any games this year? Let's start with that.
I have not. No. Part of that is just for safety standpoint. Mm-hmm. I have two young kids who aren't old enough to get vaccinated yet. And even though it's outdoors, you know, you got to use the bathroom, and taking kids into a bathroom with a bunch of strangers doesn't appeal to me from a safety standpoint or a cleanliness standpoint. And then I have kind of reached the end of my rope with the Angels for a number of reasons. And I don't think I would be comfortable paying for tickets at this point.
So that leads us really nicely into my first question, which is, are the Angels maybe in a position to turn things around?
The answer to that is no. I mean, they came in today at 500. Mm-hmm. And I feel like 500 is just where they are destined to be for eternity. Maybe it's a few games below, maybe it's a couple games ahead. But they cannot figure out a way to get out of that just perpetual mediocrity thing. And it's frustrating to watch. Like, I just got tired of watching them waste a generational talent, and now they're wasting another generational talent. And it's nuts.
They have found a way to waste two concurrent generational talents. Like, they're playing at the same time. Of course, Mike Trout is hurt, but it's crazy. The one thing I was watching, so when we are recording this, it is right in between the time when the Blue Jays and the Angels have played a doubleheader there in Anaheim, where the Blue Jays were the home team in game one and did not prevail in that game. But I wasn't aware of the level of like one run game baloney that the Angels had kind of using to paper over just how bad they are this year. I mean, I watch a lot of Angels games, obviously, as anyone, you know, who follows me on social media knows this whole thing I got going with Shohei Ohtani, this whole thing mm-hmm. about wanting to appreciate the greatest season in baseball history as close with my eyeballs as I can. But mm-hmm. Like even 500 almost kind of flatters them right now. But at the same time, it feels so tenuous. It's almost like insidious, because it's like, oh, well, as long as a couple things go their way, maybe they'll be fine. They've got so much talent. But at the same time, man, it's just such a bummer.
Yeah, they're always gambling, and like they always have, at least for the past several years, there's always one glaring issue going into the offseason, and that's pitching. And they never address it. They always try to go bargain bin and pick up guys like Jose Quintana or Alex Cobb, or one year it was like Matt Harvey. So they try to do these reclamation projects, and they don't have like the success rate that the Rays do with those kind of guys, and it fails every year. And then people are like, oh, I wish we had some better pitching. Man, the pitching is so inconsistent. It's like, what did you expect? Like, it's literally the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. And they do it every year.
It's crazy because they, from a position player perspective, they have a really good track record in my mind of developing talent. You don't have to look any further than the best player to ever wear that or any jersey. But even like the league average guys that have come up, you know, guys like Trumbo and Cole Calhoun and then Jared Walsh and like guys that are valid and viable big league regulars, but from the pitching side, they just cannot do it. And it's interesting to hear that you're at the end of your rope. So what do you think would be something that might be able to turn you around if they do things differently? I mean, the farm looks like it's, you know, is at least more highly ranked, but I guess you got to be in like kind of wait and show me mode at this point right now.
Yeah. I would have to see them spend on pitching. There were like rumors last offseason that they were close to a deal for, or close to signing both Wheeler and Donaldson to play third, but instead they threw money at Anthony Rendon, and we know how that worked out. And I guess nobody would have seen that coming, but did they really need a third baseman badly? And did they need to spend that much money on a third baseman? Probably not. If you're going to roll the dice and spend a lot of money, maybe you on a top tier arm instead of trying to do the like dollar record bin with starters and believers.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, the Angels are a soul-crushing experience, almost unique. They, you know, they're not the Mariners, right? They're kind of the Blue Jays expansion cousins. They're not that. They're a different kind of soul-destroying. But the Blue Jays, I have, with my own eyes, seen you wear a Blue Jays cap in public. So you have some kind of opinions on the Blue Jays, which are those? What do you think about this Jays club? I mean, you're getting a getting an opportunity this week to see them up close and personal. Are there elements of what the Blue Jays are doing that you wish maybe the Angels could replicate, aside from signing a generational talent out of the Dominican Republic, for example?
I think just the Blue Jays having an exciting young core is something that the Angels haven't really had in years. Whether it's like an arm like Manoah that's exciting, or Bichette or Vlad, there's just so much to rally around. And then when they need something, like a guy like Springer, they go get him. They make the right moves at the deadline, it seems like. It just seems like they have a plan. The Angels don't seem like they really have a plan to me, outside of signing like big free agent guys that Artie Moreno wants.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like having Mike Trout is like a crutch where it's like, well, we don't need to have a plan. We've got him. We just got to like put some guys around him. We'll be good to go. But it doesn't seem like that is a viable plan in the big leagues in 2021. Like, these organizations are so sophisticated now. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they're in a better place now, but I don't get the sense that the Angels are in that kind of level of sophistication in the way that they run their operation.
Nah, there's not a lot of depth. I was talking to a buddy the other day about totally spacing on the arm. It was a pitcher for the Mariners, young guy, rookie this year.
Dang it. The lefty that suddenly throws like 100 miles an hour? What's his name?
No, it was a right-hander. I'm totally spacing. Has a filthy breaking ball. But I mean, he's a young guy. He's figured some stuff out. He's exciting to watch. And I was talking to my friend, and when was the last time the Angels had somebody like this? Like a young guy that they called up that they're like, oh wow, this guy's got promise. Like maybe that was supposed to be Griffin Canning, but he hasn't figured it out. And now he's done for the year. Maybe Garrett Richards way back when, before TJ. And it just seems like they're not good at developing arms. And like I said before, like they just don't have a plan, really. It seems like they're just fine with being mediocre. And I think fans want more than that, especially when you have a guy like Mike Trout on your roster, and especially when you have a guy like Shohei Ohtani on your roster. They want to see that you're working towards something, and it doesn't seem like they're working towards something.
No, you're right. I think we were talking about Logan Gilbert. That's the name of the guy. Logan Gilbert. Yeah. A stud, like a freak, throw super hard, that guy. But you know, I mean, Blue Jays fans have been, you know, all fans, you know, there's that impatience, and to watch the Blue Jays front office operate, you're going to get a sense of what they're doing. And sometimes you feel like maybe there's a bit of risk aversion, but at the same time, there is that plan. There is that substance. They have clearly identified, you know, to be able to develop your own players, to be able to fill out your roster with guys that you can develop or guys you can identify and then kind of help improve. Like Teoscar Hernandez is a great example. Mm-hmm. As somebody that they were like, he's got skills and talents that are enviable, and we can hopefully help him become the best player that he can be. Or even like Randall Grichuk, right? Like maybe not that he's exactly the same that he's always been, but then just that ability to build up minor league depth. Like it's so easy to get all hung up on like, oh, there are X number of prospects in the top 100 or X number of this kind of caliber prospects. But it's more than just being able to replace the guys in the big league roster. It's that ability to kind of turn them over and turn them into something else where I just don't see the Angels haven't really done that. And then you see again, the inability to kind of make pitchers better, mm-hmm. right? Like Andrew Heaney comes in and Andrew Heaney is Andrew Heaney and he has a kind of a good year, kind of a bad year. Dylan Bundy comes in. Oh, Dylan Bundy's okay. Then he's bad. Like there's not a lot of like a growth. And I can't imagine how frustrating it would be again for someone who's watched them their whole life, like you to see that them just spin their wheels
and
repeatedly.
I feel like the trade deadline is a really good indicator. And every year at the trade deadline, they're kind of like, well, are we buying or are we selling? And if that's like your situation, I don't think there's a plan. Like you either have to go all in and buy or you sell. And then this time around, they got rid of Andrew Heaney. There was no reason for them to keep Raisel Iglesias or Jose Iglesias.
You can't trade Jose Iglesias, the glove-only shortstop, because then you wouldn't have a cleanup hitter if you're the Angels.
That's right. Yes. Man, that's some Madden brain working, which has been an interesting experiment too.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about Vladimir Guerrero Sr. Of course, as an Angels fan, you saw Vlad after he, of course, left Montreal, signed as a free agent. Bit of a different mm-hmm. situation with the franchise there. Number one, just what you remember watching him when he was sort of at his peak, but also like on his not the downside of his career, but he aged in a specific way, I think is how I have an anecdote. So I want to hear what you have to say, but then I'll share my anecdote of watching Vlad with the Angels. But also, and then what you think about having that in your mind when you're watching Vlad Jr.
He was a pleasure to watch, especially when he was closer to his prime and had a cannon for an arm and then could pretty much do whatever he wanted with any pitch. It didn't matter if it bounced before it got to him or it was like 4 feet over his head. And yes, he aged in a non-graceful manner, specifically in the leg region. His running was not particularly something that was enjoyable to watch. And definitely one of those guys who forgets that he's not fast anymore. Which I think has also happened to Albert Pujols. Like, you cannot stretch that into a double, my guy, and you cannot advance on a pass ball there. And then watching Vlad, it's like he's like an optimized version of his dad. Like he has good pitch selection, insane power, probably better than his dad's ever was, I would say. Some of the freaking bombs that he hits are absolutely demolished.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I love about them, and this is a very old guy thing to fall in love with, is they just look like they're having fun. And there are a lot of smiles and they seem like they're fun to be around in the clubhouse. And I don't know. I think that says a lot. I think for clubhouse culture, and it's just nice to watch people have fun playing baseball.
It is absolutely that. It's fun to watch them have fun, and they quite clearly do have fun. I mean, I don't think that anyone would ever question the professionalism. And after the kind of way they lost, for example, game one of this doubleheader today, I'm sure there wasn't a lot of fun going on in the clubhouse, but there's that kind of that ability to kind of rinse it and move on and go on to the next game. And it's interesting because the Vladimir Guerrero Sr. is not a guy that I remember having a lot of fun. He was fun. He was fun for fans because of the way that he played, but it was very like workmanlike. And the thing talking about his legs kind of going on him. So mm-hmm. I went to a game when the Angels were in Toronto, just randomly, And I don't even remember what year this was. It was a long time ago. It was, I'll tell you, this is how long ago it was. Alex Rios' big league debut. That's how long ago it was. Wow. And Vladimir Guerrero was playing right field for the Angels. And my friend and I watched as he was at the end of every inning and the beginning of the next inning, he was the last guy off the field every single time. And then he was the last guy out of the dugout every single time. Mm. It's like he was spending the minimal amount of time he could out on the field. And, you know, he played on that field in on that concrete and in Montreal for so long. So, you know, maybe his legs were all beat up. But again, obviously a Hall of Famer, an incredible career. But it was just so striking to watch him, like, drag his ass out there. He just couldn't be bothered to be out there. But obviously, like, just a truly iconic player. There was so much about him that, you know, if the game had permitted him, I bet you the game had permitted that sort of fun, loving attitude, I would have loved to have seen it. I'm sure it would have come out. I'm sure those Expos, that great Expos team, could have been even more fun had, like, the kind of, they had loosened the screws as we see in the game today, which is so much fun to watch. And I don't think that's an old guy take to be like, hey, it's fun to watch the game be exciting and players get excited. It's like the counter old guy take, like that. The I'm not like other old guys take, which is an old guy take in and of itself. But
Vlad definitely got to a point where he looked like all the joints in his lower body were fused. Like, he just completely lost all flexibility.
You hear the word creaky, you sometimes, like, oh, he's a little creaky out there, or someone's feeling a little creaky, and like that, you could hear it when he was walking off the field in whatever 2004, whenever that was. But yeah, looking and feeling a little creaky. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's talk about creaky, because the muscles haven't been used as often recently, about the new record and about going out on tour. Something, a bit of a glimmer of hope, something that's really exciting. As well as a new record, what was the process like for you guys to write? I know you kind of write remotely, and everybody lives where they live, and then you come together. So this was you're maybe well set up to record a record in these circumstances.
Yeah, we actually just started leasing out an industrial space that we built our own studio in, so we're all like self-contained now. We have storage there and a live room that we can record and rehearse in. And this was our first record recording ourselves since Beggars, which came out in 2009. And doing it ourselves just gives us a little more freedom to experiment and not have to stare at the clock and worry that we're wasting like a producer's time or going to run out of days at a studio that we paid way too much for. So we had the luxury of spending a little bit more time on this than we have on prior records. And then, as far as the writing goes, we generally start all of that remotely just because it's easy, because three of us have kids and dad duties and stuff like that when we're home. So we do it remotely, and then we'll get in the room and kind of hash stuff out a little bit, and then go back to doing it remotely for a while to fine tune stuff, and then get back in the room again and try to finalize stuff, and then try to lay it down. And I'm really, really happy with how the record came out, especially given all the circumstances. Like, this record's coming out, I would guess, 6 months later than we had intended it to, just because COVID threw a wrench in everything. And I think maybe having that extra time was beneficial in some ways, even though it was very uncomfortable. It was beneficial. Just we had a bit more time to work on stuff, and I'm really, really happy with how it came out and excited for people to hear it.
Do you think that the time, that not only with this longer lead time, but the time in the studio and the time to kind of write and noodle around, do you think that might have a, do you think that's going to come through in the songs, or do you think the circumstance, like, is that, does that kind of the COVID thing, is it weigh on the, you know, the headspace, is it weigh on the record maybe a little bit as well?
I don't think so. I think Dustin made a concerted effort to try to keep the themes lyrically on this record a little more timeless. So there's not a lot of like COVID centric lyrics on the record.
I was looking forward to like a COVID Trump kind of, like, side A COVID, side B Trump. That's what the people have come to expect to you from you guys here, like 20 years on.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is some Trump inspired stuff, but it's not specifically Trumpy. It's more concerned with like the issues that Trump's era in the United States showed us that we have as people.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But, and then you're also going out on tour, which if you are a Canadian person, listen to this, you will have to make a run for the border and find yourself a show that is in the United States, because getting into Canada, I can only imagine, is going to be a complete and absolute fucking nightmare for bands. For how it was already a nightmare, and I can only imagine how bad it is. And despite my own feelings being hurt by, you know, bands not adding Canadian tour dates, I 100% understand. But how exciting is it to go back on the road, and who are you taking out with you as well?
It is exciting. It's also a little bit terrifying, just based on how it's going in the States right now. So my fingers are crossed that it's going to happen. I'm semi-pessimistic about it, mostly just because the last like 18 months or however long we've been stuck in this interesting hellscape, it's kind of taught me not to expect much. I think it's taught everybody not to expect a whole lot. Like, shit can go haywire pretty easily. So my fingers are crossed. And I mean, touring is going to be a whole different ballgame now. It was like a place to have fun and be relaxed. And there's definitely going to be a sense of fear, I think. Mm. So I'm anxious about it, and I don't want to get sick. I don't want our fans to get sick. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that doesn't happen. Just fingers crossed, and hopefully get back out there and enjoy playing live for the first time in almost 2 years.
That is crazy to think about. And yeah, like, it's, I don't know what your experience has been like, but we've been a lot slower to reopen. So watching people fall into kind of similar rhythms or try to treat things as they did before is an odd sensation for me, because at the same time, it's like, oh, this is just like before, but it's very much not. And you become hyper aware when someone is doing something that it's like, we're not there yet, friend. And that takes on a million different ways. Even if it's something like someone was coughing in the grocery store and I was like, whoa, can you not? And you just, right. maybe just don't do that. And like, we're still wearing masks in the grocery store. You know, there's still, you know, all these different things that we were getting closer, but in Ontario and Canada, but it will be, Well, hopefully when you get out there, hopefully you get out there. Hopefully all the shows go ahead. And then some of the good parts are the parts that come to the fore, and then everyone sort of takes care of each other and you can have a great time on tour and get to play these new songs for people and get to make some new friends and see old ones on the road. And you're taking self-defense tour, right? Is that the plan?
Are.
That's hilarious and awesome.
Yeah, we're taking Touche Amore and Self Defense Family.
Self Defense, you toured with Patrick from Drug Church, which I think that they made a fan for life in you by watching them play night. Such a good band. And Touche Amore, just like the best. They're so well positioned in my mind as like the band that is kind of that elder statesman and like hardcore and whatever else, but like so earnestly love it and put on such an amazing show and like write such interesting records. So glad for them to be able to go out with you guys and play in front of hopefully a whole bunch of new kids as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch both bands every night. Like, I've been a fan of Touche for a while. And the Self-Defense Family stuff has been an inspiration in a lot of ways. Like, we actually had on the Less Art record that we did, one of the working titles of one of the songs was something about like self-defense-ish. So they're an inspiration. I'm excited to watch them do their thing and to see Patrick again. He's a character.
Well, we'll have to get him on this podcast as well. If you listen, shout out to Patrick, shout out to Axe to Grind. The only podcast that I listen to, because I don't drive anymore. So I don't listen to podcasts as much. That was the thing that I did then. But a really, really fun show and definitely a character. Tell the people we mentioned it already, but when and where they can find and get the record and where they can go to get any more information about the tour and things like that.
Yes, all information is at thrice.net. The tour starts on September 24th in Houston and is supposed to hit pretty much all of the states. It's about a 6-week run. And we're excited about it. Record's out on September 17th, depending on when you listen to this.
Tomorrow.
There will be, the second pre-release track is coming out, a song called Robot Soft Exorcism. So that's the second song that we put out. The first one, Scavengers, came out about 3 weeks ago and seemed like it was received really well. So we're stoked. Like, stuff seems like it's going well.
For sure. You made a music video. What? How cool is that? You made a music video. You're playing. There's actors. Living the life. Coming back.
Very cool. Yeah. That was the first time we'd been in a video of our own since, it'd been ages, probably 8 years or something. We're generally anti-performance videos in any way, and we decided to change that this time around.
Why not? You got all this time to ideate. You got all the time to ideate and brainstorm and have some fun with it.
Right.
Riley, my friend, it is always so great to talk to you, and I'm so happy for you guys to be able to get back out and do what you love and do what you're the best at. So thanks so much for taking the time to join us, to join me and to talk to me. And I hope that the Angels just do everything the opposite that they have been doing starting tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be great. I would enjoy watching games more and going to games for sure. I wonder if Trout's going to come back, actually.
Why would? I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah.
I mean, they give him, $34 million? I mean, there's that kind of point, but it's all right. Otani is, it's truly the greatest season in baseball history, truly, without an exaggeration. Like, I'm not saying that because I am a stan, because I am. But the reality is, I don't think that even he will be able to do what he's done in 2021 again, because it's just too much to ask. It's too much to ask. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's the only reason I watch anymore. Certainly not tuning in to watch Shohei Ohtani and the Salt Lake Bees play.
It's such a bummer.
Their lineup looks like.
It does look exactly like that. All right. His name is Riley Breckenridge. You can follow him all on social media. And like he said, check out thrice.net for more information on the record. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. And thank you for listening to this edition of Spin Rate.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.